Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
You ready for the word? Good. Me too. So if you have a Bible with you or a device, turn to Galatians chapter 6. We are finishing up today our series on Galatians. And today we're looking at Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's a little bit long. But I think it is, and I think it is worth hearing. So Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 18, that's the whole chapter. Galatians chapter 6. If you're looking for that, you know the acronym Go Eat Popcorn, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. If you can never remember what order those letters are in, Go Eat Popcorn, Galatians is first. Okay, Galatians 6. Here we go. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride, for all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand? It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make trouble for me, for I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. Okay, now I need to take a second to get a prop up here as well. So time out. Hang on. You ever notice how with COVID, everything is more challenging, everything is more difficult? Oh my gosh, here we go. I love how Paul ends this letter. He ends it the same way that he began. He says, "Do you see what large letters I am writing when I write to you?" We think that probably someone else actually transcribed the letter while Paul just spoke the letter. And at this point, he must have picked up the pen and he begins writing just with huge letters. This is the all caps version of the Apostle Paul writing. He ends his letter the same way he began. He's all fired up. He's super passionate. He's fired up because the gospel is at stake. This is not about the color of the carpet or how bright the lights are or how loud or soft the music is. This is about the gospel, and he's fired up about it. And since this is about the gospel, since the gospel is at stake, the gospel community is also at stake. And so he is fired up. If you remember, we've been saying the last, 7 or 8 weeks that the gospel, according to the Apostle Paul here in Galatians, the gospel is grace for the undeserving. The gospel is forgiveness for the sinner. And the gospel is freedom for the captive. The gospel is a gift to us because Jesus gave himself to us on the cross. That's Galatians 1, verse 4. The problem in Galatia is that some agitators, as he calls them, they want to avoid being persecuted because of the cross. And so they have attempted to remove the cross from the gospel. They said, let's just take the cross out of the gospel equation and let's put in its place some cultural and religious observances, some things like circumcision. So these agitators were proclaiming a false gospel, which turns out is not really very good news at all. That word gospel just means good news. There's good news in the real gospel, but this false gospel that doesn't address the cross and which says you have to get circumcised and you have to follow the law and you have to do all this stuff in order to be right before God, that's not good news. Because it turns out none of us are good enough on our own. And Paul will have none of it. He will have absolutely none of it. Verse 7, he says, do not be deceived. And you know what? God is not going to be mocked. Paul's whole letter to the Galatians is his attempt to bring unity to the church in Galatia, a church which was struggling with divisions over religious heritage, divisions over ethnic identity, over social class, over gender. Does any of this sound familiar to you? Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 and 29, he says, there is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There's no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ. This is the message that he wants to get across. If you are in Christ, you are in Christ, and that's it. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your heritage is. It doesn't matter what your social class is or was. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is, what your race is, what your gender is. If you are in Christ, you are in Christ. There's no longer slave or free, male nor female. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you are in Christ. May it be so here at Christ Pacific and in all the churches in Huntington and Fountain Valley and the surrounding areas and in the church capital C of Jesus Christ. Let's pray as we dive in to this passage. Gracious and living God, thank you that you speak and thank you that you have spoken through the Apostle Paul. And the Holy Spirit, you have enabled his writing to be passed down to us, that we might hear your voice, a voice which is trustworthy and good. Help us to listen to you, and help us to hear you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to focus just on three verses today, verses 2, verses 6, and verses 17. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens, so that in this way you may fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 9 says, let us not grow weary in doing what is right. And verse 17, for I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. Those are the three verses we're going to spend most of our time this morning in, verse 2, 9, and 17. I used to take a lot of people backpacking, beginners who had never been backpacking before, people who had no experience in the wilderness and the outdoors, so to speak. And since I would take these groups of folks backpacking, people who had never really done that before, one of the most common mistakes of a beginner is just to bring too much stuff. You just think you're going to need more than you actually need. And so inevitably, I would end up carrying a bunch of other people's stuff as I felt sort of bad for them as they struggled under the weight of their heavy loads. But then I got smart. And I would arrange for these trips, and we would have pre-trip meetings to make sure everyone's got all the right stuff, and, you know, we're making a plan. And in these pre-trip meetings, I would give people a list. And I would say, here is your backpacking list. This is everything that you need to bring. And if it's not on the list, you do not need to bring it. In fact, please do not bring it. And I would make them a promise. I would say, I promise to you, if you bring anything that is not on this list, I promise you, I will not carry an ounce of it. I will not do it. Listen to what Paul says. He says, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry one another's loads, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And I got to thinking about those backpacking adventures and how I would often end up carrying other people's stuff that, you know, wasn't really necessary for them to bring. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing sometimes what some people think they need while backpacking. And the Apostle Paul just says, you know what it means to be a follower of Christ in this community of Christ? In part, it means to bear one another's loads, to carry one another's loads. What are those burdens, those bricks that are just weighing people down? Can you carry them? Can you bear the loads of others? How do we do that? I just heard last week how one of our preschool families had a new baby, and I don't have any experience in this, but I understand having a baby is quite the load to carry. I understand it's worth it, but it's a big burden and quite the load to carry. And so some folks gathered around this woman and just cooked a bunch of meals for her, just carried the load, bore her burden. You know, I know that on Monday night there's a group of people led by Ken Smith who regularly pray for you. People who regularly carry your burdens in the form of prayer and offer them to Jesus Christ. One of the ways we can carry the load of others is to pray for them, to lift their burdens to the living God. We can also just walk with people. You know, have you ever felt like your friends or people you're hanging out with, you know, they've got burdens, they've got struggles, and you can't fix them? There's nothing actually you can do to really, like, help them or make the burden go away. But one of the things that we can do is to walk with those people, to just walk with them. I learned in these backpacking trips where I would lead people into the wilderness that one of the best things that I could do for those who are really struggling, you know, we're into mile 6, we're into mile 8, we're into mile 10, and so-and-so, you know, brought too much weight and they're really struggling under the weight, one of the best things I could do would be just to walk with them. Inevitably, those who are struggling under their loads would end up sort of in the back of the group, right? So you've got all the keen, eager people with light loads and they're up front and, you know, just eager to get to the lake or whatever the destination is. And those who are struggling ended up farther in the back. And I learned quickly that one of the most encouraging things I could do as the trip leader was just to walk with them. I'm not carrying their stuff. I'm not carrying their loads, but I'm walking with them as they bear their own loads. Another thing I learned in these backpacking trips is that you can boost someone's morale so quickly simply by taking them. You have to be sort of discreet about this, but taking these folks who are struggling in the back and you put them in the front. Because nobody really enjoys being in the back, being the caboose, sort of feeling like they're holding up folks, but let's elevate these people and let's put them in the front. It's amazing what that can do to people's morale. Walk with one another. Walk with those who are struggling. It's called a ministry of presence. Another way to say that is incarnational ministry. That's ministry in the flesh, incarnational ministry. It's the kind of ministry that Jesus does with and to us. Jesus comes and is present with us. He doesn't minister to us from far away. Jesus comes to us and walks with us and among us. And we can carry the loads of others by doing the same. You know, there's another way that we can bear the loads of others. And I think it's by actually allowing other people to bear our load. You know, I don't know about you, but are you ever guilty? I certainly am. Of when folks offer to help. You know, oh, hey, man, can I help you with that? Oh, no, I'm fine. I've got it. I'm doing just fine. I can get all 12 of these grocery sacks from the car into the house in one trip. No problem. Yeah, right. It's like a disaster. No, I'm fine. One of the ways we can actually serve others is by saying, yes, thank you, and giving them the opportunity to help us. Give others the opportunity to bear our load. Can I help you? One of the most kind things that we can say to someone who asks us that question is, yes, you sure can. I would really appreciate your help. Thank you very much. We can bear the load of others by pointing people to Jesus, by pointing people to the one who can actually do something about the loads and the burdens that we bear. The most significant burden being our burden of sin. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus offers this invitation. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Is your burden too heavy? Is your load too heavy? Come to me, and I will give you rest. One of the ways that we bear the burdens of others is by pointing them to Jesus, who can actually carry the burden. And what does he do with our burdens? What does he do with our loads when he carries them? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he writes, Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you have been healed. Jesus himself carried our burdens in his body on the cross. Jesus takes the heavy loads that we have accumulated. Some of them are the loads that belong to us. Some of them are the loads that we have been carrying from other people. And Jesus takes that heavy burden, most significantly the burden of sin, and he bears it on the cross. He nails it to the cross, and he ultimately puts that burden to death. Friends, we can point others to Jesus, who can carry our burdens. Paul says, this is how you fulfill the law of Christ. Let us bear one another's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. You have the privilege of being a fulfiller. You have the privilege of fulfilling the very law of Christ. This is amazing. Well, what is the law of Christ? Well, I think that Paul probably had in mind in Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest law? What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, actually, you know it. It's this: you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But then he doesn't stop there. And he says, and you know what? The second one is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus says, you know, all of the law and prophets, in other words, all of the Old Testament, all of the scriptures, they all hang on this command. Notice Jesus doesn't say these commands. They hang on this command, this one greatest commandment. Love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. We can fulfill that law of loving God and loving our neighbors by helping them carry, bear their burdens, by pointing them to Jesus, who ultimately can carry and bear their burdens. We have the privilege of being fulfillers, fulfillers of the law of Christ, as we do that for others. Verse 9, Paul says, "So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up." Let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Now, I want to tell you a couple of stories about some experiences that I had at a local hardware store. I had purchased a bunch of tile for our front porch. Krista and I were tiling our front porch, and I bought some extras because you don't want to run out, and I knew that I'd be able to return the extras. And so I went to return these extra tiles to Home Depot. That's where I was headed, to Home Depot, and I think I had like 10 tiles to return. So I brought them to the returns, and the clerk kindly rang everything up, and then she said to me, "Okay, that will be like $479 back onto your credit card." And I was like, "Okay, Peter, you know what just happened. Moment of truth. Here it is. You can walk out of Home Depot with free tile for your whole porch. Or you can do the right thing. You can walk out of here with $479 worth of free products because this clerk has just offered to refund you the entire purchase price, or you can do the right thing." And so I said, "Well, ma'am, actually, I returned 10 tiles, but I think you just rang that up as 10 boxes of tiles. And so I think actually the refund is supposed to be like $47, not $479. So she thanked me, and I walked out of Home Depot with $47. Another time, I ordered some lighting from Home Depot, and I ordered 5 light fixtures. And they shipped them to me, but they shipped me 7 light fixtures. I was like, "That's weird. I could have swore I ordered 5 light fixtures. Why are there 7 light fixtures in the box?" And so I look at the receipt in the box, the packing thing, and it says 5 light fixtures, you know, $20 each or whatever. Why did they mail me 7 light fixtures? Moment of truth. I have an option here. I can return 2 of these light fixtures to Home Depot and get credit for them. I can get refunded for 2 of the light fixtures. And, you know, if you do the math, I've only paid for 3 light fixtures, but I end up getting 5. Or I can do the right thing. And so I brought the 2 light fixtures back to Home Depot, and I said, "Hey, look, I bought 5 of these light fixtures. You sent me 7. I don't know what you're going to do with these. That's not really my problem. It's your problem, but these belong to you." Do not grow weary in doing what is right. You know, I offer those to you just as simple illustrations of just like, don't grow weary of doing what is right, because you will reap the reward at harvest time. Now, what I'm going to tell you next rarely happens. It certainly rarely happens to me, but it did happen to me. And this is not really the reason for doing what is right, but sometimes this stuff happens. Okay, so more Home Depot. You ready? So we bought one of those crank-up desks or like workbenches, you know, so you can stand at them and then you crank them and they go down. So we bought one of these, and we had to order it online through Home Depot because they were all out in the store. And so it got shipped to us and opened up the package, and the top was this real nice kind of butcher block thing. But it was damaged. Like, it had gotten dented and scratched pretty good on the sides. And so I was like, "I don't really know what to do. Like, you know, I don't really want to pay full price for a damaged good, but if we return it and get another one shipped, I'm not convinced that the next one's not going to come damaged." And so I called up Home Depot and I just said, "Hey, you know, I got this product. I ordered it. I think it'll work for us, but like, it is damaged. I'm just wondering, like, if I bring it in and show you, you know, would you offer like a 10% discount or something for, you know, a damaged product?" And so the clerk was like, "Yeah, hang on, I'll see what I can do." So she put me on hold. And then she came back and she said, I'm sorry, sir, I wasn't able to process, you know, any kind of discount for you for the damaged product. But what I was able to do is I just refunded your card the full amount of the of the desk just for the hassle and, you know, sorry we sent you the damaged product, so early Merry Christmas. And I was like, what? Did I hear you right? Wait, serious? No, that's not right. No, you can't She's like, no, really, sorry about the inconvenience. It's no big deal. Like, we just refunded you. Great. Thank you so much. So do not grow weary in doing what is right, for at the proper time, you will reap a harvest. Now, I'm not, again, hear me loud and clear. I'm not saying that, you know, that I didn't rip off Home Depot for the tiles, and so therefore God repaid me by giving me a free workbench. That's not how the equation always works out, but it did this time. And I was like, okay, thank you, God. Don't grow weary in doing what is right. Verse 17. This is one of my favorite verses in all of Galatians. Verse 17, Paul says, from now on, let no one make trouble for me, for I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. I carry the marks of Jesus branded on my body. You know, I don't have any tattoos because I'm too chicken to commit to anything that I know I'm going to like 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 years from now. But if I was ever encouraged maybe to go get a tattoo, I think this would be the time I was. You know, maybe what would it be like to have the marks of Jesus branded on my body somewhere? I don't know. I still don't have a tattoo. I'm too chicken. What are these marks? What are these marks that Paul refers to that are branded on his body? We don't really know. We know that Paul had some kind of, he struggled with some kind of infirmity. Maybe he was sick when he first met the Galatians. He says that in chapter 4, verse 13. We know that Paul had some kind of what he calls a thorn in the flesh. Seems to be referring to some physical infirmity or sickness or struggle that he has. He talks about that in Corinthians. Is this what he means by the marks of Jesus? Some kind of sickness or infirmity? We don't really know. I think that what Paul means here is he means the marks that belonged to Jesus now also belong to him. The scars that marked Jesus' hands and feet are now also branded on Paul, metaphorically, obviously. Paul's life bore the marks of sacrifice. Paul's life bore the marks of service for the sake of the gospel. His body was branded from it. Maybe his knees were actually calloused from praying for others. His knees bore the marks of Jesus. Maybe his hands were calloused from serving the poor and serving the orphan and serving the widow and serving the foreigner. Maybe his fingers were calloused from writing so much to the churches. You know, this doesn't happen as much anymore with keyboards, but do you remember all those days when you were writing a ton, you get this big, huge bump on your finger, this calluses from writing so much? Maybe that's one of the marks of service and sacrifice that Paul bore on his body. You know, you can always tell a bricklayer from his hands. You can always identify these guys because their hands are strong and thick and calloused and worn. You can always tell a bricklayer by his hands. And I think one of the things Paul is saying here is you can always tell a follower of Jesus by her heart. Her heart is branded by love for Christ. Her heart is branded by a humble desire to do what is right. Her heart is branded by sacrificial service towards others as she bears the burdens of her brothers and sisters in Christ and therefore fulfilling the law of Christ. She is an embodiment of the good news of Jesus Christ. Good news that there is grace for the undeserving. The good news that there is forgiveness for the sinner. The good news that there is freedom for the captive. What about you? What marks of Jesus are branded upon your body? Maybe literally, maybe metaphorically. Can you tell? Can others tell that you are a follower of Christ because your life is branded by Jesus, branded by the gospel? Are your knees calloused? Are your hands calloused? Is your heart branded by love and humility and sacrifice and service? The whole point of Paul writing this letter to the Galatians was to remind the Galatians of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in reminding them of the gospel, to encourage them to gather together in unity around that one gospel. For there is no longer slave nor free. There's no longer male nor female. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile. There's no longer white nor black. There's no longer rich nor poor. There's no longer Republican nor Democrat. For all who are in Christ are one in Christ, gathered around this one gospel of grace and forgiveness and freedom. Friends, together as the people of God, may I encourage you to maintain the unity of the Spirit as you fulfill the law of Christ by carrying the burdens of others to the cross of Jesus, who bears our burdens in his body right there on the cross. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you're faithful to rescue us. Thank you that you're faithful to shepherd us. Thank you that you're faithful to serve us. Thank you that you're faithful. Thank you that you're faithful. Would you equip us by your Spirit to be the fulfillers that you call us and invite us to be, bearing the burdens of one another, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and therefore bearing the marks of Jesus on our bodies, on our minds, on our spirits, on our hearts. Jesus, would you protect the unity of your church? Would you work in and through our brothers and sisters across the globe? Would you draw us together around this one gospel that we might be a testimony of your great love? Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We offer ourselves to you. For it's in the name of Christ that we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Friends, would you join our worship team and let's close this morning with worship. Stand if you are able.
Trial.
friends, thank you for gathering with us for worship today at home and here under the tent. It's good to be together and to praise his holy name. Now, go with this blessing. Now, to him who is able by the power that is at work within you, to him who is able to accomplish exceedingly abundantly, far more than you're thinking about right now, to him be all the power and glory and might in your families, your neighborhoods, your workplaces, your schools, yes, at Christ Pacific Church, and everywhere, both now and forevermore. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great week. God bless.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon Podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpcbeach.com.